Our guest tonight, speaking of Ironman, he's finished second in Kona twice. He's won Ironman New Zealand 11 times. The legendary Mr. Cameron Brown. Cameron! 11. You get that, man. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
All right. So Cam, talk a little bit about growing up in New Zealand and what were your sports early on?
The Rugby World Cup's going on at the moment, so if everyone knows what rugby is, it's a lot harder than gridiron. So
you don't
have helmets and no pads, so it's a sport that every kid in New Zealand grows up doing, and it's one of those sports. It's pretty cool, but you get a few black eyes and you get a few broken bones, but it's good fun and it's a tough Kiwi sport.
Did you play?
Yeah, I played for about 5 or 6 years, and then everyone grew and I stayed the same size and got a few black eyes, and that was enough. And then I got into individual sports after that.
Did you start with track or swimming?
No, I didn't swim until I started triathlon. So I didn't start triathlon until I was 14. So just did tennis, badminton, bit of cross country at school. I'd just turn up and do it. But just had a bit of fun and with all my sports.
When did you find triathlon?
So when I was 14, I was at secondary school college, and I was second year there, and a lady there was, triathlon was just starting then, and it was growing every year and getting more and more popular.
So when did you feel like, okay, I could be good at this and actually potentially even make a living at this?
I probably had a little bit of success, soon after I started, but we had the likes of Rick Wells and Aaron Baker. They were world champions. They were like... pretty much the first world championships was 1987 in Perth in Australia. And Rick Wells and Aaron Baker, they both won those races. So they were heroes in New Zealand and, just amazing athletes. So they were one of my heroes growing up.
And early on, you were more of the sprint and Olympic distance guy.
Yeah, I started in sprint distance. And back then, probably the same in Southern California, there was a sprint distance or Olympic distance race every weekend.
Right.
And so you had so many races to choose from, and we'd race sort of 12, 15 times over the Kiwi summer.
And was there any prize money at that point?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Rick Wells he'd just clean up because he was an Olympic or Commonwealth Games swimmer. So, he swam, 152 for 151 for 200 metres. So he was phenomenal in the water. And back then there was sort of $1,500, $2,000 for first place every weekend. And that was back in the late 80s. So it's probably worth $5,000, equivalent nowadays.
Right.
So it was good money.
So you knock off, and when you're 18, you knock off Rick Wells. Did that change things for you in terms of sponsorship, in terms of your perception of you?
Probably thought that, I could, make a living out of the sport, and definitely changed things and the way I sort of thought, maybe I could do this for a wee while and make it my future.
With when the Olympics were announced for 2000 in Sydney, and they announced that it was going to be draft legal, did that change you in terms of, okay, listen, if it's going to be draft legal, I got to go find something else?
Yeah, I mean, I had a little bit of success early on in the ITU circuit, and sort of, I was top 10 in the series 1 year, and I had a third and a fifth and sixth, but as soon as it went to non-drafting, it just changed everything, and then I went to sort of 30th, use the bike leg as a strength for me, and my running just, I was never a great runner short distance, sort of a couple of halves turned up, and started doing those and started to have some good results in the half Ironman distance.
So at that point you really didn't have a developed 70.3 series. It was just sort of random, random half Ironmans. When did you 99? You went 97 was your first attempt at Ironman New Zealand. And what happened?
It was just a shocker. I'd just come off Olympic distance, and I think every Olympic distance athlete thinks it's going to be pretty easy to, switch over. And I tried a new wetsuit that morning, and that was back then. Wetsuits were not like they are nowadays. Nowadays you can just stretch to they're just so flexible. And back then, you know, you'd stretch it and you'd get this much movement. You know, nowadays it's
like
this. So, yeah, swim 3.8 kilometres in a wetsuit like that and it just arched my back the wrong way. And, you know, 40 k's into the bike ride, my back was playing up and I ended up, my girlfriend, my wife-to-be then, you know, at, I think 150 k was standing on my back, trying to put my back in place. And I wasn't going to run, but I ended up running and ended up running a sort of 306 marathon for my first attempt. And but I was still, you know, sort of 23rd that first attempt and got scared away.
So you come back in 99 and you finished second there. And did that qualify you to go to Kona?
Yep. So I finished here 13 seconds behind Tim DeBoon, who went on and won, you know, two Hawaii Ironmans. And I didn't actually realise I was that close to him because it was just a guy in a T-shirt running in front of me the whole way. And
you're like, who is that guy?
Yeah, he just, I think he was sponsored by Polo Sport back then. And I was like, you don't run in a T-shirt in an Ironman. And,
right.
Yeah, so he was finishing and I was 80 metres behind him at the finish line and sprinting after him. So, yeah, it was a fantastic race and yeah, sort of ran a 2:45 that second attempt, so it was cool.
And then you go to Kona for the first time in 2000, and you take 26th. When you came home from there, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, you just realise that how hard this race is. You know, it was... You know, it's a stunning swim. You're swimming 27, 28 degree water temperature. But then that year, you know, it was just incredible. You know, I only had 3 weeks training on the Gold Coast in Australia. I trained most of the time in New Zealand winter and just got my ass kicked. And just didn't realize how hot it was in Hawaii. And,
And what did you do when you came home? Find Scott Molina?
Yeah. I rang up Scott Molina, who, you know, won the race in
1988.
And, He'd won everything, and I thought, you know, I need the services of someone who's done well here before, and he pretty much doubled my mileage swimming.
So he doubled your. What were you doing before on the bike, and what were you doing afterwards?
Yeah, pretty much sort of 400 k's on the bike, and he doubled it to 800 k's and
a week.
Yep. So, I don't know. I think that's maybe 500 miles. So yeah, it was pretty scary, and to do that, you know, go from that massive jump to do that, but. It helped, and you know, the next year I went back and got second.
So the following year, you go and you win Ironman New Zealand for the first time, right? And then you go to Kona and get second in Kona. And I remember that year, because people had cell phones, but it wasn't, you know, wasn't that prevalent. And I remember you at the finish line, sitting on the finish line, Mike Riley giving you a cell phone to call your wife. At that time, that was pretty novel to be able to call someone right from the finish line.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, my wife didn't come because she'd just had our first son, Braden, and so 3 days after she'd given birth, I took off to Hawaii and with her blessing. So yeah, I rang her and it was back then the New Zealand dollar was it was 39 cents to the dollar. So I think I won $25,000. And Tim DeBoon won $70,000. I think I nearly won as much as him, so I was pretty happy. I was working it out, the math in my head. And Mike Riley asked me on the finish line, and he said, "Oh, you just won $25,000." I was like, "No, I just won $70,000." So yeah, it was pretty cool. But you know, buying a loaf of bread was $10.
Yeah.
So it was expensive staying there.
And that pretty much, you go from 26th to second. All of a sudden, you're on the map in terms of the Ironman, and especially because you won in New Zealand. How did that change, again, your sponsorship, the perception in the marketplace, especially in New Zealand?
Yeah, I mean, it was a massive help to, you know, win New Zealand for the first time. That was my dream come true. And I'd watch the race in, you know, the early 80s when, you know, Scott Tinley, Ray Browning,
yeah.
Scott Molina, Dirk Ashmanite, they were all racing. And, you know, I used to drive around the course on the back of my dad's truck and we'd watch the race. And I always had a fascination with Ironman and, you know, I dreamt about hopefully doing it someday, but to win it, you know, in New Zealand that time was quite an amazing experience. And then to, you know, get second at the World Championships was, pretty incredible for me.
Who were some of the legends that you watched that you ended up racing against?
I mean, Scott Tinley. I mean, I always remember racing in Coeur d'Alene up in Idaho and racing against him and beating him up there. And Rick Wells and Scott Molina and... I mean, I was around that, I was a teenager, but I was right. around that area where those guys were still racing, and I mean, the big four were just legends in our sport, and I just have so much, I admire those guys so much because, you know, it was the pioneers of those guys, what they did for our sport was just incredible.
So then after you win in 2001 in New Zealand, you win again 2002, 2003, 2005. What was it about that course that suited you?
I think it was just training through a New Zealand Kiwi summer. You know, I just loved it. And we just did back-to-back seasons every year. I just loved racing. And I think, you know, not trying to Skype, but I was pretty good form every year come March, because I just trained through a New Zealand summer, eating my own food in my own bed. People, I think, got a little bit scared that, you know, every time they'd come down to New Zealand, yeah, they knew what they were sort of
up. You were ready, and they were. It was early season for them, but you were ready.
Yep.
When you look back on those early races, what were, if you were going to pick one of those Ironman New Zealands back then in that 5 year stretch, was there one that sticks out as one of your better races?
Yeah, I think definitely the first win was incredible, because it was a dream come true to win it. And Peter Sandvang, he had a 12-minute lead off the bike. Our roads in New Zealand are just shit.
They are. Just that big pebble stuff.
Yeah, big rocks just put down and tar cement over it. And it's not nice on your back. And so to ride, you know, sort of 4:30, 4:40 is a good time.
Right.
And a lot of people, you know, you get off and try and run off that. It's incredibly hard. So 2K to go, I had him in my sights, and I think with about 1K to go, I caught him and passed him, and there was a lot of emotion through winning your first Ironman.
And you have this streak where you win five in a row, and then when the following year, I think that was a year where they canceled the swim, right? And it was just a bike run, and then you go off after that year and you win another five in a row. So basically, if that doesn't happen, you've won 11 Ironman New Zealands in a row. That's nobody does that. Mark Allen won 10 Nice triathlons, but winning 11, but what could have been 11 in a row would have been it's still amazing.
Yeah, no, it's I'll be racing it next year, and I'll be racing it, you know, maybe when I'm 50, because I just love racing our, you know, the course. Taupo is a town of sort of 20,000 people, but 20,000 of those people will be out in the course, you know, come Saturday, you know, watching and supporting people.
How many full Ironman distance races have you done now in your career? You know, even know?
I don't know. No. this is going to be 14 Hawaii.
When we've done, you know, so you've done like 12 or something in Taupo.
Probably 19 maybe in New Zealand, and then probably about 10 in Germany, two Lake Placids.
So you're north of 30 full Ironmans.
Maybe closer to
40.
Yeah, 40 or 50, yeah.
40 or 50. Do you feel there's a point of diminishing return where, oh my God, how many can I do before I start going backwards? Because you're 43 and you're still going fast.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, probably I just love the sport. And, you know, as soon as that passion and desire goes, then it's too tough to, you know, keep going. So I think, you know, Hawaii keeps calling me back, and I said 3 years ago I wasn't going to go back, but I've, you know, I nearly retired a couple of years ago. But
now, why? Why did you almost retire?
I think I just had really, it sucked all the energy out of me. I'd been, you know, competing since I was 14 years of age.
Yeah.
And I think it was probably when I was 40 or 41, and I had nothing left in me. And so I took a massive break and did nothing, put on about 5 or 6 kilos and ate pies and drank Coke and, just enjoyed myself. And after that, I got rid of, I had plantar fascia for probably 2 years and got rid of that, got rid of every injury and came back super strong again and motivated to do well again.
Did your wife say, like, you know what, Cam, I think you better get back out there again, getting a little chunky?
Yeah, I get a little bit annoying, when I'm not training, and I sort of, I lounge around the house and do nothing. And so, she kicked me out and got me started again, so it was good. It was great.
How have you changed with age? How have you adapted? A lot of athletes will say that, you know, I can do the same workouts I did 20 years ago, but I just have to take more time off in between. What have you found works for you?
Yeah, I think I just have to be very, very careful now. I'm 43 now, so recovery is important. I can't do those hard sessions that I used to do. You know, back when I was in my 20s, early 30s, I could, you know, just smash myself nearly every day. But nowadays, I do a lot more easy stuff. I don't have a lot of time off.
Right.
If I do have time off, it's either on the mountain bike with my son or just doing the most amount of time off is probably 2 weeks.
That's it. Two weeks off.
Yeah. Otherwise, I just things tighten up, and I'll typical example. I came up here. I just come from the Philippines. I've flown home. I was in New Zealand for 10 hours. I flew up to Boulder, Colorado, and I had a calf strain second run, so I didn't run for 2.5 weeks.
And been that time off probably was a problem.
Oh yeah, just the travel. So just anything small like that can just play havoc on, you know, older athletes. So you just have to be so careful, and you know, using compression when you're flying and all that. So it's just those small things like that, right. Massage and keeping hydrated. And yeah, I probably didn't do those things 7 weeks ago, and nearly had a calf strain for, you know, it could have been 5 weeks. So it's pretty lucky.
One of the things that I've always wondered about with you, when I see your Ironman marathon times in New Zealand, they're all in the 240s. And then in Kona, I don't feel like you've ever had the marathon that you should have. Like, you should be running a 245 in Kona, right? Do you feel the same way? Because I look at your splits, and you've had, you know, 256, 258, 255, and then a 250. But I don't think you've ever had your best marathon there.
No, I've never, like, I've spoken to, you know, guys, Peter Reed and Tim DeBoom and you know, all the guys that, when they've won that race, they've just had the best race of their life. And I've never gone there having a great race. And, I don't know, hopefully this year, I know I'm older, but...
Doesn't matter. Yeah, there's nobody there. There's not much of a field.
Yeah, every year I've gone there, I've normally trained on, you know, the Gold Coast in Australia or Noosa, Australia. And so... 3 years ago when I was there last time, I came up to Boulder and I trained in altitude, and I was, you know, in fantastic shape. And then my son came up and had a virus and I got sick.
That. Yeah.
And I didn't even start. So hopefully, fingers crossed, they're going to be healthy, and I've had a fantastic build up. I'm just really, I just want to go there and have a great race, and I'll be happy.
I love it. Yesterday you posted a photo of you and John Howard, who won the 81 Ironman. You're still a geek about this stuff, right?
I love it. I just, all those old guys, and you know, if I see any of them, you know, I want a photo with them. Mark Allen, Dave Scott, you know, Scott Molina.
All those old guys. I'll make sure I'll tell them that.
Yeah.
Old guys. Hey, Cam was talking about it. Hey, guys. He's talking about all those old guys. Tinley, Molina, Mark Allen. Yeah.
I mean, John Howard, you know, he's 68, but man,
he can hammer.
Yeah, I'd just done Camp Pendleton, and all he was concerned about was the peloton behind catching him. So we were just, you know, pulling off and doing turns at the front, just smacking it. And
you and John, the 43-year-old and the 68-year-old.
Yep, no, he was just going for it. He was loving it, and that's the passion that he has as well. So that's what I want to be like when I'm 68.
One of the races that I look at is one of the classics, the first Ironman Melbourne, 2012, year after Crowe had just broke the course record in Kona. And it was a great field there, right? You had Aniko Janos, you had Joe Gambles, Luke Bell was there, Frederick Van Leerd. You had everybody there, and it was a first-time event. It was the Asia-Pacific Championships, and you and Crowe put on a show. When I look at the splits, I think your swim splits were 5 seconds apart, your bike split was 5 seconds apart, and then you separated from the other guys and just became a one-on-one Mark Allen, Dave Scott, Iron War type of battle. Did you have that feeling during the race that this is special? This is a day I'm going to remember?
It was pretty cool. We, right from the start, you know, there was sort of, I think, four of us running together, and then I think Aniko dropped off at about 15K,
yeah.
And then Freddie Van Leer dropped off at about 17K, and then from that moment, you know, we had like 100 cyclists behind us following us, and you know, we'd surge, I'd surge, and then Crowe would surge, he'd drop me, and then I'd drop him, and I think it was about, we got to about 37Ks, and then he finally dropped me, and he took off, and you know, I didn't realise we were so close to 8 hours, and he went under, and I finished in 8 hours and 12 seconds, and it pisses me off still to this day that I didn't run. You know, I thought, I've got second, thirds.
Thirds in another zip code,
And 12 seconds, I could have run it. And, it, you know, not every day you get to go under 8 hours. And So that's going to
especially 38 and 39 years old. Yep. Crowley's 38, you're 39, and you've dropped all the young guys, and you guys are just going. So Craig goes 50-33 for the swim. He goes 50-37. Crowley goes 4:24:43 for the bike. You go 4:24:48. In the marathon, Craig Alexander runs 2:38:46, and you run 2:41:17. 7:57:44 to 8 hours and 12 seconds. Not often you go 8 hours and 12 seconds and take second in a race. I mean, that's probably your greatest race.
Yeah, it was a fantastic race, and I'll always remember that. You know, it was side by side, just smashing each other, and afterwards he said that was the hardest race he'd ever done, Crowley. So you take some sort of comfort out of that you pushed him to new limits and that, and yeah.
I always think that you only have a certain number of bullets in the chamber, and when I look at what Crowley did to break the course record in 11 in October, and then really within 6 months had another legendary race, he really hasn't had a great race since, right, at an iron distance race. And I just wonder how much that takes out of somebody when you have two races like that so close together without really recovering in between.
I think he'd won 3 Ironmans in Hawaii, and I think when you probably get to that stage in your career that you've done everything that you wanted to do, and he was 2-time world champion at 70.3 distance and to win Kona 3 times. So I'll probably that's always been in the back of my mind, Hawaii and that, and trying to win it and that. But 43, I'm probably a little bit old now, but I remember Dave Scott was 42 when he got second, and 45 when he got fifth.
So fifth, yeah.
Yeah, but I just want to go there and have a good race and give it
top 10.
Yeah, top 10.
Top 10, you'd be happy.
Yep.
Top 5, you'd be happier. Winning it would be.
You're retiring.
Yeah. So in 2014, you win Ironman Cairns. That you were the oldest triathlete, right, to win an Ironman. 8:20:14, and you're 41 at the time. Did you surprise yourself?
I mean, you never know when you're going to win another Ironman, and so to win one at 41 was pretty awesome. And I remember Tim Burkle, we were running side by side. Peter Robinson and Tim Burkle took off like rabbits, and I think they went through the first 10K in about 36 minutes. And I was looking at my Garmin, and we were running sort of 3:30s for those first few kilometres, and it was just nuts. And then I got them at 10K, and then Robbo sort of, he was a 3-time world champion short distance.
Yes.
Then he blew it sort of 12K, so that was nice. And and then at 21K, Tim, he turned to me and said, you've won 11 of these, and I've only won one. And I was like, so?
Yeah.
I've got a family to feed, and
he thought you were going to give it to him?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, nah, good, mate. Good for you. Yeah, there's no gifts.
Yeah,
doesn't he know that? The no gifts. Lance got the shirt, right?
I've got 2 kids to feed, and that sort of spurred me on, and
Has anybody ever said anything like that to you in a race before?
No. So as soon as he said that,
you knew that he was hurting.
Yeah. So it was a good feeling, and I sort of. But it was still 21K to go, and
that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, why don't you just give me this? Yeah. Did he make you an offer? Like, hey, I'll give you 20 grand if you give it.
Oh, if he did, it might have.
I know. That is a different gig.
But it's not every day that you win an Ironman. So,
no.
So
how many total Ironmans have you won?
So I've won 11. New Zealand, Cairns once, then Metamam, which is an Ironman in
Malaysia, right?
Indonesia.
Yeah,
that was. 2014 as well, so that was a big win. That was $30,000 US to win that, and then European Championships in 2006, I won there as well. So
love it. And then this year you go back to New Zealand and you're 42, and you win your 11th at 42. When you going into that race, did you feel that I feel as good as ever? There's no reason I can't win this race.
Yeah, I mean, every year I go to New Zealand, I mean, I just...
You just love the place.
Yeah, I just have a fantastic build-up.
They have a statue of you there or anything like that yet? What's the deal?
Bevan Doherty's got his...
Bevan's got... They named the street after him.
Yeah.
But, what the heck? They got a street after him, there's no Cam Way or Chucky Brown Way?
No, there's nothing yet. So, maybe one day. But, Torenzo Bazzoni,
Yes.
You know, he's... he's the beauty and I'm the beast down there, and all the young chicks, you know, cheer him on, and all the 40 plus guys cheer me on to, you know, try and do it for the old
boys. I think
you'd
rather have the chicks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Shit. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's you get support no matter where.
Right.
And but yeah, I mean, he dug it in the bike and had a 4 minute lead at sort of 120 k's, and lucky I pulled it back in the last sort of we came off the bike together, and then. Yeah, wanted
put it to him.
Yeah, put it to him, and so shoved in a few, you know, 3 minute 30 k's in the first few k's, and yeah, I think he'd burnt the match a little bit too bright, and so yeah, to win that was awesome again.
What's amazing to me is he's been since '99. We're talking 17 times at Ironman New Zealand, 11 wins, right, and 4 seconds and 2/3. So you've never been off the podium since last century. How about a round of applause for that? I mean, that to me is just going to a starting line 17 years in a row, but to be able to win 11 of them and be on the podium every single time. Do you look at that and go, I can't believe I did that, or is that something you do when you finally retire?
Yeah, I think probably later on in life, and I'll look back and think, yeah, it was pretty awesome and pretty special, but I mean, I just want to keep going. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to line up in 2016 and try and do it again, and yeah.
So when you look at New Zealand, a little country, and you had a year where Hamish Carter wins a gold, Bevan Doherty gets a silver, and then Bevan got a bronze as well. Just knowing that those guys followed your lead, and then Terenzo Bazzoni as well, what are your thoughts in terms of just the growth of triathlon in your country?
Yeah, I mean, it's when I was competing with the likes of Aaron Baker and Rick Wells, so they were my heroes, and then, you know, Hamish Carter and Bevan Doherty, you know, those are the young kids that...
Right.
We have a series in New Zealand, the Weekbix Triathlon Series.
Yep.
Every year it gets, I think, 20 or 30,000 kids throughout New Zealand. I think there's 15 races, and the races get either 2,000, 3,000 kids. So we've got this phenomenal base of athletes always coming through, and you hope, you know, one of those is going to come through and be, in, you know, an ex Hamish Carter or Bevan Doherty.
And when Bevan decided to come over to Ironman, and his first race, he just killed it, right? He went to Ironman New Zealand, and even though he stopped in the porta potties, I think he broke the course record and did everything. And I think, to a certain degree, probably thought, oh, this isn't that tough. First time out, he had a great one. When he made the move to Ironman, did you feel that he was going to be successful?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Bevan is such a strong, tough athlete. You know, he's good at any distance, and you know, he's one of those guys that is just, yeah, he's a gutsy guy, and he'll just push it to
right.
To his limits, yeah.
And he won Ironman Texas, and then he came to Kona, and I got a little concerned when he showed up either on Tuesday or Wednesday of race week. Usually when people are coming in for the first time, they want to get a little sense of the course, ride the course a little bit. Did you feel that was a mistake, not really knowing much about it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it only takes you to go up to Harvey and get blown off the road and see the winds up there. It's just phenomenal, and the heat out at the Energy Lab, and yeah. I remember a picture of him coming out of the Energy Lab walking, and, you know, it's not a nice feeling. And, yeah, you sort of think, oh, shit, yeah.
How much longer do you stay on as a pro?
As long as I'm enjoying it, you know, and earning some money and you know, loving the sport, I'll just keep going as long as I can. I want to be another Scott Molina. You know, Scott's based in Christchurch. You know, he married Aaron Baker, and I went and saw him this year and down in Christchurch, and
he's still training and he's still in shape.
In great shape, and you know, I'll just the wife can keep teaching at school, and you know, I'll be a coach and try and keep fit and healthy, and yeah.
So your kids are following in your path of being triathletes, or are they doing something else?
They love their BMX and mountain biking, and the little one, he'd be a great triathlete. He you know, I think he wants to be, but he doesn't enjoy getting up at every Monday. He swims, but 6 o'clock in the morning is he's not an early riser. So hopefully someday he'll you know, he'll like it. But yeah, he loves it. He's a great little athlete, and the old one, Braden, he won Auckland Mountain Biking Championships this year. So he's a good little athlete as well.
Is there one moment that you look back on in your career, and that's sort of what you would put in the time capsule? That one meant the most to me.
Yeah, definitely winning New Zealand Ironman in 2001. Yeah, first
time.
Yeah,
first New Zealand.
Dream come true. Yep. I mean, I every night, you know, it takes me an hour to get to sleep because I'm always dreaming about, you know, I'll be dreaming about Kona and what I'm going to try and do, and just, you know, I think of all the positive things, but I also think of all the negative things that can go wrong. And when you do that, you, if it is something negative that happens on race course, then when you've done it through your head a million times, then you think, well, yeah, I've done this, and you cope with it better. It's when you don't think about those things, that little things that can go wrong. Sometimes you get flustered, and you know, things take a lot longer. So it takes me a while to get to sleep every night.
How has the racing changed over there from the pro perspective? The field's deeper now, and just, you know, it seems like it's a little more strategic, and people are making moves throughout the day.
Yeah, oh, it's just getting faster and faster. I mean, the first 40Ks on the bike has always just been phenomenally fast. You know, you go through the first 40K sometimes in, you know, 56 minutes. So it's just crazy. And then, you know, everyone's just blowing up by the time they get to Kauai High, which is at about 60, 70K.
Yeah.
And I mean, the last 2 years I haven't been, and it's been good, quite good watching and seeing it on TV and just watching what the guys are doing. And you know, even if you're not in that first group, you know, guys come through in the end, and you've just got to be patient the whole day. And if you can do that, then you can have a great race. But yeah, it's just so fast nowadays, and you know, you're getting the short course guys coming through now and moving on to, you know, probably in the next 2 years with the next Olympic phase that'll come through, you'll get those guys coming up again, and it'll get faster.
Someone like Jan Frodeno comes up, Olympic gold medalist from Beijing, and just taking the game to another level. And then, like you said, after next Olympics, we'll probably have Javier Gomez coming over and Mario Mola. And when you see those guys at the World Championships last week, Mario Mola ran 28:59 off the bike in Chicago to win the World Championships. When you see those guys coming in, sport's in a good place.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's just getting faster and faster, and it's good to see, you know, the bike playing a huge part of it now. You know, I think the Brownlee brothers have changed
yes.
things up there, and I like that, because it's before it was just, you know,
a swim run,
and now with those guys, you know, and everything, I think everyone's had to change their game plan and work on their cycling, and you know, and they're better athletes for it.
You changed your game on the bike, and there was a point there, I don't know, it was 2007, 2008, somewhere along that line, where you got a serious cycling coach and changed the way you attacked the bike.
Yeah, I think you have to now. I mean, power and using power meters is so important now, and Brendan Cameron, who was my coach back then, he really put a lot of emphasis on, you know, the power meters and that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just know exactly what you have to push every day, and, you know, if you've got certain intervals, it's, you know exactly what you have to do, and you know, rain, hail, or shine, you know, it's not going to change anything on that computer. It's, you've got to push it. So, I think, yeah, with the Garmin, you know, the on the run as well, that's changed. You know, it helps you a lot. You know, you don't have to go down to the track nowadays.
Right, you know where you're at.
Yeah, yeah. I love running trails, and I can't stand the track. So most of the time, it's just, I think I have to look after some else. Probably 80-90% of my training running is on trails or grass, and it's probably helped me over the years.
No question.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. How about another round of applause for Mr. Cameron Brown?